reflection this evening based on our reading from the book of Matthew. Now, one of the central themes of Christmas, and specifically one of the names of Jesus, is this idea that Jesus is Emmanuel, that he is God with us. Now, all through the Old Testament, when we see God reveal himself, when God comes and speaks to his people, and when God makes his presence known, the way we see that is very different than we see at Christmas. The way we see it through the Old Testament is we see whole mountains tremble, we see God come in fire, and God comes in the wind, and God comes in all these kind of massive supernatural ways that kind of gets your attention. Like, obviously, this is God coming, and this is God speaking, and this is God doing something. But then to call what we celebrate here at Christmas, the birth of Jesus, to call that God with us, to call that Emmanuel, is very different. What's being said is that God is finally fulfilling all of his promises throughout human history to come and save humanity. Every prayer is being answered in the birth of Jesus. God is finally providing the solution that he's promised to give to humanity and to the world as a whole. And God will finally bring peace and justice and all that we have been longing for and begging God to do. Just think, every time a person throughout human history has had even a thought, even a desire or a whispered prayer and said to God, would you do something? Would you help? Would you intervene in this situation? Every time in human history somebody has felt that, thought that, or said that, either quietly or loudly, in panic and in pain and in suffering or in hardship, God is finally, definitively answering every single prayer. So that should produce a bit of hype. Can we call it that? Am I a hype man tonight? It should produce a sense of expectation. God's finally going to do something. Doesn't that sound like good news? And God's going to do it in a tangible way. Have you ever wished that God would just intervene tangibly in your situation? So this is finally that moment. And that moment begins at what's called the Annunciation, which is when the angels come to Mary and to Joseph and tell them, you're going to carry the Messiah. The Messiah is being birthed into your womb. That's where it all starts. So God's action, God's final solution for what's wrong in all the world comes in the form of a baby, an infant. For 9 months, this child is just inside Mary. And you can imagine for Joseph and for Mary, those first few months, so an angel comes to you and says, the child that's in Mary is the Savior, is God's solution. And then you can imagine for the next number of months going, really? Really? Is there anything actually in there? Is there really a baby, let alone a Savior? But as the months progress, I'm sure it got a lot more real. I remember that when we first got pregnant with our first child. As the months go on, you're like, wow, this is actually happening. She's getting bigger. You could see as, you know, people always say, oh, she's starting to show. Imagine Joseph and Mary's process during that. But here's the thing. So God's salvation is coming, but it's coming in the form of a child. What is God communicating about the salvation he's about to bring? This child, this infant form, is going to live a full human life. I think when we ask God, either accidentally or on purpose, for him to intervene in our circumstances, to do something to help us. We often want to see this big show of power, don't we? We want to just see the circumstances change. Just change, just intervene by your power and make this all better. But instead, what we see of salvation is God enters into what's wrong, and he's there for a long time. Before Jesus dies on the cross, before he's resurrected, before he's ascended, Jesus spends 30-some years just being normal. Just like you and just like me. He has a family, he has parents, he has a job. He eats, he lives, he has friends. He lives an absolutely normal life for the bulk of his life. So what does that say about God's solution? God's salvation for those of us who are looking for help. What does it say about how God's going to help us? It says that God's way of salvation comes through compassion. What I mean by that is that God's beginnings of salvation is to enter into exactly what you're going through with you. Jesus' full human life was to experience exactly what we've experienced. To go through the pain and sorrow and hardship that we all go through. Jesus goes through every stage of development because, in my case, I made a lot of big mistakes in every stage of my development. Every single one of them. I made bad decisions and big mistakes that cost me and hurt me. In every stage of my development and life story, I went through hard things where other people did bad things to me. Things that broke me, changed me, scarred me, and wounded me. Jesus lives the full human life because that's what we need salvation from, is the cost and the hardship and the heaviness and the weight of normalcy, of normal days and normal problems, stress, anxiety, and pain. So God's solution, his salvation, comes through this compassionate participation with us. That he goes through it with us. And the purpose for it is that salvation would be thorough. That we would actually get help for all of the nitty-gritty ins and outs of this human life. But also that our salvation or the help from God that we long for would be personal and specific. Because the things I need help with are very personal for me. I need very personal help. I need very specific intervention from God. But it also pushes home the point that seeing God's transformative work in our lives takes time. He's not actually in a rush. I think we, as Christians, we tend to get like, okay, Jesus, I believe in you. Fix all my junk. I kind of think if I show up to church, I say the creed, I believe it, I take communion, and I'm like, Jesus, I trust in you to help me and be my solution. And then I leave, get in the car, and then I'm a grumpy dad in the car on the way home. I'm like, I was counting on you to fix me. But we kind of want Jesus to just be a quick fix. I want Jesus to just help me escape me sometimes. But the picture of salvation here is where God's solution spends 30 years of just living normal life like you do. It takes compassion for God's presence to be a normal human life just to understand us, to love us, to care for us, to know what we feel and what we think and what it's like to be human. God does that, enters into that with you, to get you. To have Jesus is to have where you get to go, God gets me. He understands me. And yet, for me, often, whether it's friends or family or whoever, I rarely feel like people get me. Like deep down, really understand me. I've been married for coming up on 20 years. Even a good, healthy marriage can't make me feel that way. The salvation that's offered in Jesus is so much deeper to be known. And to be known compassionately, where he gets me and still likes me. Have you often thought, if people knew what I was thinking, they wouldn't be my friends anymore? If people are annoyed with how some of the things I say, imagine if they knew what I was thinking. But here we have a God who knows and understands and still likes us, still loves us enough to die for us. And so of all the places in the world, if the church was to be like Jesus, then the church should be a place that people can come to and be safe, to be known, and to have time to be transformed. That we wouldn't put this pressure on each other to go, can you get it together already? But instead, in Jesus, to have this ongoing, that we know and can trust that he's transforming us the way we need to be. But here's the thing about compassion. The reason God can be so compassionate and patient with us is because he's so confident in his ability to save us. He can be patient and take his time because he's confident knowing that he's got enough time to do the work. But when it's about, I have got to get this done and I'm scared that it's not going to work, we tend to put a really quick timetable on things. I do that when I cook things. I'm like, I put it in the oven and I go, surely if I turn it up hotter, it'll just get done quicker. Doesn't work that way, does it? And we want heart change and transformation, and we want it quick. The beauty of Christmas is that Jesus is communicating to us that he has time, patience, and compassion to walk us into a new life. Not just expect instant transformation from us, but to know, love, and enjoy us into a new way of living. Now, for some of you, you probably come in going, I've believed in Jesus for a long time, and I haven't seen the changes that I wanted to see. It's important for you to just find yourself at peace in the hands of Jesus. He's responsible to do the work. He's responsible for the timetable. He's the one that's in control, and you can just rest. For some of you, you've been spending your life searching for new quick fixes, new shortcuts to health. If I could just buy something to make me feel okay, if I could just achieve this, then I would feel safe in my life. If I could just have this, then I'd be okay. And every new thing we acquire, we still find we have the same broken heart in the midst of it. Jesus offers a new way and a new life, being able to trust in his transformative work. That he actually does it. He actually mends the broken heart within, and we find ourselves finally at peace, finally at home in ourselves, because we're finally loved by someone unconditionally. I think the message of Christmas for us today is this. Rest. Rest in a solution that's tailor-fit for you, that knows your story, knows what you need, knows what you're made for, and loves you enough to care for your heart, to mend your story, and to heal you the way you know you need to be healed. That Jesus gets you, loves you enough to walk you on a lifelong journey that he would be responsible for. And what we know of the good news is that it doesn't just stop at Christmas. It leads to Easter, which is Christ's triumph over evil. It leads to resurrection, which promises new life. It leads to purpose and calling and future. But it starts with a very personal engagement and reception of Jesus. All those things come, but they begin with being known, being understood, being loved, and receiving compassion for those deep places of your heart. To go, I get you. And I grieve with you. And I feel your story as though it's my own. This is the good news of Jesus for Christmas. Amen? Now, as we turn our hearts to the table now, I'd invite you, if you're comfortable with it, to just close your eyes. We usually take a moment to prepare to receive communion. So we do some personal preparation. So if you're comfortable with it, just close your eyes. Have a moment of quiet reflection. And just think, what are the areas of your life and of your story where you've desperately longed for compassion? For somebody to hear you, to listen to what's taken place, to understand maybe some of the mistakes you've made. But compassion just to be known and to be safe without any expectation that you would have to change yourself or justify yourself or make the story sound better, but just to actually be perfectly known and to feel perfectly safe and to feel perfectly understood finally by someone and to feel like a solution is being offered to you. Just confess those things that come to mind. Almost just open up your heart like you would a room and say to Jesus, come in and know me. I'll let you know me. So take a moment for quiet prayer.